You forgot to tell everyone what tonight's episode is about.
To Virtuous Optimist Podcast. We are in Lafayette, Louisiana, and we are here. We have a special, special guest, and a lot of people know that I'm a huge fan of bass. So we finally got a bass player on Virtuous Optimist Podcast. So peace and love to Brian Warwick.
Hello.
Thank you for being a part of the podcast. I really appreciate it. It is, what time is it?
It is probably late. It's 12:59.
It's 12:59?
Yep.
12:59, and I was like, I gotta come through. We're going to do a little music session. We're going to talk a little bit, and Brian is going to do a freestyle on bass. So show your naked skills on the bass.
Bass.
There you go.
Thank you.
Type of artist or type of bass player to be able to like just listen to something and play the bass line?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Kind of have to at this point.
Got it. Can you go to like YouTube or something and I'll show you a bass, a really dope bass line? It's Escape Tonight. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard this song?
Probably so. The whole line.
Yeah.
And then they go down. And they go down again. That's pretty much the whole song.
So what are those keys and notes? What's the difference between keys and notes?
A key is comprised of notes that make a certain, as we say, tonality.
Got it.
So you can only tell a person is out of the key, but when you realize what a key pretty much is. Now, granted, the average person feels as though they really, really understand it, but at the same time, musicians have found a way to play things technically out of the key that sounds good.
Yeah,
but for you to be, that's like you being here, but like doing like a some weird like way out there, you know. But how else can I put it? It's pretty much just knowing the construct of what you're in. And then stepping out of it to be different.
Got it. So pretty much the notes is keys, pretty much.
Yeah, that's all it honestly is. Because a pitch, as we would say, they're repeating.
Yeah.
So it's like you have an F here, you have an F here, you have an F here. Mm-hmm. So it's because there's only 12.
Right.
So exactly. All you're going to do is just keep repeating and repeating and repeating.
Exactly.
But a scale is comprised of a set amount of notes.
Of notes.
And that just repeat in a particular interval.
Got it. Okay.
Because if I was to play, as all this, say this is where in G. So G minor is. But G major is.
Okay.
But it's technically we're still in G.
Right.
It's just you gotta. It's different intervals to get to getting exactly. back and forth from a G to another G.
Exactly. Got it. Got it. I like the that real low like mm-hmm. baseline. I love that. And like when it gets really, really like funky and like groovy with the bass lines, like that's my mm-hmm. shit. So like originally, because at one point, at first I saw you just with the like the regular guitar, and mm-hmm. then I would see you on keys, and then I started seeing you on bass. So mm-hmm. this is new to you? No. Or you always did?
No, I've always been playing like book. My goal as a kid, before I even discovered producing and all that, I just wanted to play everything.
Yeah, okay.
So I've been owning... That's my newer keyboard, but I've been owning the keyboard since I was in the sixth grade. Mm-hmm. I've been playing bass since my sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
And I started playing guitar around the same time I started playing bass, but I didn't seriously start playing guitar until like maybe 2 years ago.
Got it. Okay. And you were in the band, right? UL band?
From elementary all the way up until college. But I was doing drums for so long to where like I just kind of stopped.
So you were playing drums too?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I just stopped doing it. I was like, nah, I'm going to go to pit. So I just went to, like, melodic instruments
yeah.
in the pit, and then I went to cymbals until I was done.
Got it. So you really do know how to play a bunch of different instruments.
Yeah, I could play the keys right now if you want me to. It's all the same.
For sure. You graduated from UL?
Yeah, and I'm at Northwestern Online.
Got it. Going in liberal arts. Okay. I did ULM Online. For my master's. So, you doing your master's?
No, I'm just getting another liberal arts degree. Because my first one was music business management, and then I was just liberal arts.
And so, do you feel that it's helped the music management, music business
degree? I've made good connections, I'll say that. Because there's certain things that they teach you that's kind of irrelevant that don't really have anything to do with said people need to do. Mm-hmm. But Scott Durbin, Chris Munson, Dr. Alper, that was in Troy Bro, it's probably like my top four teachers mm-hmm. who like really just put some fire underneath my behind, like, hey, here's what you need to know.
Yeah.
Here's what you suck at. Mm-hmm. Here's what you're good at.
So like as far as like the music business, yeah. is that okay?
Mm-hmm. And like they help with all of that, especially Scott Durbin. Scott Durbin is the head of music business, I believe. Yeah. And he's with Imagination Movers.
Okay. So Imagination Movers, what's that?
That's like a kids group. He's had deals with like Disney and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And
So is he familiar with like the music industry as a whole? Oh yeah,
he runs Imagination Movers from what I know.
Okay.
And like he teaches us like the ins and outs of the business as far as like 360 deals and pretty much copyrights and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's like don't give your publishing away and stuff like that.
Pretty much like he's more like he's going to teach you how to create content, how to own your content, how to brand yourself. Mm-hmm. Understanding the business behind it all mm-hmm. and then just overall how to just be whoever you want to be because we have you got people in school for music business but then I used to be a music media major I would still have to take some of those classes mm-hmm. you got people that's in there to produce to be managers to be just musicians and people just trying to understand it so he just keeps it very universal.
Got it. Okay that's cool. And so you said within, like, the whole music industry, you kind of just want to, like, do the soul thing and not really be, like, mainstream.
I mean, if mainstream comes, I'll receive it because there's more money. But
and more light.
Yeah, but I'm not one for the spotlight.
Right.
It's like, mm-hmm. As long as I'm doing what I love to do and I'm making a living from it, mm-hmm. that's fine by me. I'm trying to, like, get into publishing to where it's, like, I can make little jingle stuff here and there. Mm-hmm. Let that be a thing. Make my own solo artist stuff, let that be a thing. The band that I'm in, let that be a thing. And produce all that. I'm just trying to have all avenues open.
Exactly, yeah. You want to be almost like a Raphael Sadiq, kind of like.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, like just do a little bit of everything and be a part of everything. Yeah, that's dope. I mean, had I realized my passion for music when I was a little bit younger, outside of just listening to it and loving it, like I probably would have did all this before, but
it's never too late.
You're right.
It's never too late. Right. They got this girl named Ashley Juno. She plays guitar for Camila, and I forgot who else she was playing for. She's worldwide now, but she didn't start learning guitar till like her late 20s.
Dang.
Like borderline 30s, I think. And then like she's cold.
Yeah.
she cold, bro.
Dang. Okay, so that's definitely inspiring.
Yeah, go check out. She's on Instagram.
What's her name?
Ashley Juno.
Ashley Juno.
Or just type in like Juno the guitarist, I think it is on Instagram.
Got it. We'll do that. And then you make music too, yes. And because you posted on SoundCloud.
Yes.
Is there any songs that you want to run on the podcast?
You can run Koi if you want to. It's on Spotify, Koi. iTunes, Tidal. That's what
KOI.
KOI, yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. I like
that. That's a song that took me a while to like really not only just make but to like let people hear.
Why is
because
that?
It's like I'm just getting into this phase to where I'm accepting my voice for what it is, and I'm not the most confident singer, but I'm trying to be something better. I just need to understand the flow. Baby, can you tell me where to go? I just need to understand the flow.
So, like, do you feel like the bass player, like, controls everything on stage, like, when you're playing?
In a sense, because we are in charge of rhythm and tone.
Yeah.
So, it's like, if I'm having an off bad day, the whole band is technically having one because I'm the reason why, me and the drummer are the reason why everybody's dancing and grooving.
Exactly.
You know, like, the guitars, the pianos, they establish, like, melodies and chords and stuff like that, but I'm, like, the bottom part of everything.
Exactly.
And I'm, like, the little thump that's here and there.
Yeah.
But if I was to have off day, yeah, it's just bad. It's bad, yeah. Bad.
Because it's a lot of times, like, I go to shows and I'm like, man, you take that bass player off the stage and it's
empty.
Nothing.
Empty. Like, there would be no rap, no hip-hop without bass.
Right.
It's all 808s and kicks.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And, like, I try to distinguish, like, to certain people that's not really into, like, music like that, like, try to distinguish. I got, like, my sister who was with me, I was telling her, like, of course, like, you got the regular bass that actually, like, knock, like, in subwoofers, but then you got the actual bass line. And, like, a lot of people pretty much, like, just pay attention to the subwoofer bass, which would be, like, the 808s and, exactly. Like, the kick drum, but don't really pay attention to the bass line.
At all. But they feel it. You feel it.
Exactly.
Like, we're more felt than heard.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, the only time we're really heard is, like, let's say, like, shop music for churches and, like, Zydeco music or
right.
Swing out.
Yeah.
Because that's all bass
or, like, dub.
That too, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, reggae and all that. Yeah, for so sure.
Besides that,
yeah.
Ain't nobody really listening. Because everybody still thinks that bass and guitar are the same thing. I'm like, that's
right.
Two totally different things, but, you know.
Yeah, like she didn't know what the bass was.
Wow.
So I was telling her what the bass was, you know, so I mean, she's not the only one. If she's asking that, you know, yeah. It's a lot of people that don't know what it is.
It's a role playing instrument. I'll say mm-hmm. that. I'll yeah. say that. Like mm-hmm. That's why. Like most people don't realize that's why Thundercat is so famous because yeah. he's a bass player who does literally everything at the same time.
Right.
Like for all the bass, well, just musicians in general that understand how to play an instrument, mm-hmm. to sit there and play chords and runs like that on a bass and sing and move at the same time, that's not easy.
Right, that's right, not easy at all. Yeah.
And he make it look so easy.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, dude could sing, dude could play, and he make bomb music.
Yeah.
Boom.
Right. So Thundercat, is that one of your inspirations?
Oh, influences? Yes. My top three is definitely, well, if we're doing it in chronological order from when I discovered them, it's going to be like, Jaco Pastorius, rest in peace, Robert Bubby Lewis, and Thundercat. That's
my top three. I never heard of the first two.
Please check it out.
I will. So they soul artists or?
Everything artists. Okay. Now, Robert, see, Jaco Pastorius was like funk, soul, and like just, he's so odd there. You can't really.
Jaco.
Yeah.
Got it.
You can't put him in a box. You really can't.
Okay.
Because he was one of them artists that's like, once he came out, and then he was one of them just prolific bass players because it was rare for bass players to be the stars. Like Bootsy Collins and stuff like that.
Right.
That's
rare.
Yeah. He came out, he did his thing. And then Robert Bubby Lewis is just known for, bro, that dude can play so fast on the bass. Bro.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Like, it's 4-string, 5-string, 6-string, 7-string. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll play the crap out of it.
Dang.
And same thing for Thundercat. It's right. like they both on like that bass crack. I don't know what they doing, but I mean, they just got it like that.
Right. So you strive to be. Like that, to be able to play bass like that.
In a sense, because it's like, I love that, but my ultimate goal musically is just to be able to translate what's in my head into actual music.
Right.
Because I feel like that's the hardest part.
You got to put both feet forward, you know. You just can't live and keep going just based off of the talent or the gift that you have. You should have a desire anyway to want to, you know, progress. Especially me being a bass player, like, I love soloing, I love playing chords and this, this, that, and other, but by default, I like playing grooves. If I want to make everybody's head bob, then I gotta know that rhythm. I gotta be able to appreciate that groove, and you gotta put forth the work in order to be able to do so.
Progressions can't be made if we're separate forever. I hook this funky beat with the loop and the feature. Is the funky singing by Miss Vinia Mojica? So listen, because the quest is led through the underground. My people have been oppressed too long, no more will we be down. People tend to riff because they don't know the mental. People tend to bug because the beats are hard but gentle. Afro candle lurks through the body of this youngin'. Play like Bobby Bird on your back and you're coming to the house of the jazz, of the funk, of the rhythm. All the goods are welcome, but if you're a villain, I'll just wait and debate. Contemplate your arrival. If flexing is your motive, then you don't like survival. The abstract is speaking, the heartbeats is reaching. The black and Puerto Ricans because they're butt naked streaking through the ever murky streets of the urbanized areas. Blasting out the speakers is the hip-hop hysteria. Craig is in the house. Pete Rock is in the house. CL is in the house. Ultra Mag is in the house. Nice and Smooth is in the house. Big Daddy Kane is in the house. Beat Nuts is in the house. Special Ed is in the house. Yeah, 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 yeah. And this one goes out to my man. Thanks a lot, Ron Carter. On the bass, yes, my man Ron Carter is on the bass. And check it out. Going into the 91 decade, up and until the 2000 decade, you gotta say, the quest is on. And goddamn it, that's the quest is on.
musicians, it's like we'll have hundreds of thousands of sounds and stuff in our heads, but we can't get it out.
Exactly, exactly. Because it's like you don't really know what sounds good together.
Well, not only that, it's just playing it. Because I'm one of those people to where it's like, I'll play something before I sample it.
Okay.
Or before I like go in and record it a certain type of way to make it sound like that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I just want to be able to, like, anything I hear, I can get it out.
Right, yeah.
On every instrument.
Yeah.
But until I'm there, and like, or Jacob Cole, he's not really a bass player, but like, he's just a well-rounded musician mm-hmm. who plays everything. Like, mm-hmm. he's one of those people to where, like, he has an idea, it's coming out.
Right.
Like, the dude's first album won a Grammy.
Wow.
And he's like, around my age, I want to say, probably younger than me.
Dang.
That dude's phenomenal.
And what's his name again?
Jacob Collier. He's from the UK, I believe.
Okay. So do you do, like, research on, like, bass players?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more so, like, I don't be like, where you from? And, like, I'm not really concerned about that. Mm-hmm. It's more
but
so,
like, technique and stuff.
Yeah, like, I'll go watch them. I watch a lot of, like, the past 2 to 3 artists I've really been watching is, of course, a lot of Thundercat. Mm-hmm. The bass player for the internet, his name is Patrick Page. I am in love with his album, bro. Like, the dude, I didn't expect that from him.
Right.
You know? And, I could go on and on about him. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've been watching him a lot live, through the internet show, just watching him play.
Yeah.
A lot of Robert Bubby Lewis and, a lot of, in between Jacko and Thundercat. But a lot of stuff is pretty much on, like, Instagram. Like, I go on YouTube. But people putting so much content on Instagram now mm-hmm. to where, like, you can just go to their page and just watch.
Exactly.
And pick it up. Like, there's a guy named Mono Neon. Mm-hmm. Freak of nature.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Wow. So, like, as far as, like, the bass players from, like, back in the day. So, like, you mentioned Boosie Collins. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's, like, Larry Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And then James Jamerson. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Yeah. So, like, do you go that far back as far as influence and research and stuff?
It depends. It's like, I study music. When I was studying, like, music in school, they'll make us, like, go back and I have to learn certain songs for this and that, which made me discover certain bass players. But it's like, I'll go back and watch them, but I'm in a phase right now to where it's like, I'm only really studying what I like.
Got it.
You know, because I'm after a certain sound through myself. I'm trying to, like, I listen to a lot of Mac Ayers. He just dropped an album called Something to Feel. That junk is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Him, a whole bunch of D'Angelo.
Got it.
A whole bunch of Questlove, The Roots, a whole bunch of just a whole bunch of soul R&B and, like, kind of mixed with, like, the newer stuff that's out now.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to just, like, mesh it. Like, I'll have certain albums on repeat. Like, just for days. I'm not listening to anything else but that.
But the bass line.
That and just, like, the overall tone, just to get it, just to see what it's like. Because it has to mesh with everything around it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's dope. So, you want to get on the keys?
If you want, it's nothing.
Let's see what the keys hitting for. So tell the people all of the instruments that you play. A multi-instrumentalist.
I'm somewhat decent on regular drums. I'm a better key drummer than I am actual drummer.
So what's a key drummer?
Key drummer is like I can load up drum sounds like a whole drum set right here, and I can legitimately play a whole show like this. And you wouldn't if like you couldn't see the band, you would think an actual drummer is on the stage.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't got to that point.
Let me see. Who used to do that with, like, the keys? Bernie Worrell, he played with Parliament and Funkadelic, but he could do a lot of different stuff with the keys, like the Moog or something like that. That's some type of
it's a synth that's very, very, very relevant to, like, a lot of music that you hear yesterday, today, and soon to be tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty much everybody, well, most people on the Moog, I'll say that. It's too low. Get another sound.
So you were saying the instruments that you play?
Piano, bass, guitar. I have an upright I need to move into this place, but it's hard for that in a 1990 Corolla.
What
my little car.
Wait, well, what you said you have?
An upright bass. That thing's like this big.
Oh, upright bass. Got
it.
Okay.
I have to get that from my other house and bring that here. I play upright. I have regular. I have a 5-string, a 6-string bass. I have a regular acoustic guitar back there, a vintage one. I have an electric guitar. I got a piano. And pretty much anything that doesn't require me to blow through it, I can play it.
Got it.
The only thing I haven't touched yet is a harp.
Okay.
I really want to learn how to play that, but they are really expensive.
Yeah.
Like, super expensive.
Got it. That's cool.
Random stuff.
So ultimately, though, which instrument do you?
I get asked that too much. I don't have a favorite.
You don't?
I can't pick a favorite because, like, I'll wake up one day and I'll only want to play my piano.
Yeah.
I have another day to where it's like I only want to walk around with my bass. I only want to play guitar. Like, yeah. I'll make a song and it's like 6,000 guitar sounds on it and nothing else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't pick. I try picking, I can't. Some days I suck at piano, some days I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
Some days I suck at guitar. Like yesterday at church, I was killing that guitar yesterday. But it just depends. I can't pick one of my kids. I can't have a favorite child type of situation.
Every parent got a favorite child, though.
Can't pick. Like some days I really just don't want to play my bass. I don't. Yeah. It's like I'd just rather play guitar all day. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, and you get that a lot with artists. You know, it's like, what do you like best or what is your favorite? And a lot of people say, I can't choose.
You can't. Like, if you really, really play all the instruments that you say you play, you can't pick.
Right.
You can't pick, man.
Because I guess it's like you get something different from each.
Exactly.
From each instrument.
Right. Yeah. I don't get the same fulfillment from my bass that I would get from laying down a certain song with my piano. Now, granted, I use them all for the same song, probably. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'll probably feel a piano part on a song way more than I feel a bass part or whatever, or vice versa. It just depends.
Got it. So when you create, what's the, what do you usually start with? You start with
whatever I'm feeling.
Whatever you're feeling.
Like some songs I had laid out, I haven't even like dropped the song. I don't even think I ever will. It's just like a vault song I did just to mess around and practice. Mm-hmm. I made like 10 minutes worth of me just playing like a piano loop. And then the next day I came back with like the drums and like the guitar and stuff on it. And then that was it. And then like other days I just start off with just bass on something and like, that sounds good. Cause like I'm at work. I have a melody in my head all day.
Yeah.
All day and it's killing me. And I get home and I have to get it out. Exactly. So it's like I'm just throwing everything together.
Yeah.
It just depends on how you're feeling that day.
That's exciting to have that type of thing in your head. And it's like, I gotta go home and do it.
It can be tedious. Yeah. It can be annoying at times because I'll be at work and I'm working like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't really like express fully how I want to.
Right.
So I'm dealing with customers and like, what's your humming? It's like, nothing. I'm trying to just keep it in my head. I'm like, I got all these sounds in my head.
Right.
And I can't bring my studio to work. So I'm just sitting in my chair like, all right, bro, you got like 6 miles that you can get home. And you get home and you make like 4, 5, 6 songs. Like my vault of just the songs I've made this year. Let's see. Because I lost all my songs.
For real?
I had I used to have a PC I was using. Before I used Logic, I was using software called Mixcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I had albums of music. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what happened. Like my screen blacked out my hard drive. Like the dude said it fried or whatever. My graphics card got so hot that it fried through my hard drive and nothing was recoverable.
Dang.
So I had like years worth of music on there. I didn't want to create anything anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I lost my babies. I lost like music I was about to put out the next month, surprisingly. Like I'm just gonna drop a whole bunch of music and didn't happen. Then I started like just I was like, man, I gotta start getting this music out of me because I was just practicing. And I came back, I got this in like January and just for a whole month, this is all the songs I did.
Dang.
I was just going in.
That's a lot.
And then you get it all out, and it's like, okay, cool. I can calm down now.
Right. You shook back.
I needed to. It was bad. Like it was bad, bad. Like I went through like this bad depression too, because like I had songs. I got past I'm making pop songs. I was like, okay, I'm gonna start writing songs that I can relate to that's like legitimately about me.
Yeah.
I was going through like breakups and then I was trying to figure myself out, about to step into college. I got to college. I was not studying how I was supposed to, so I was catching up from picking my GPA up and making new friends, losing friends, and that's like all in my music.
Right.
And then it's like, man, this is some good stuff. Wake up one day, you're about to just do whatever, and the screen just does not come on. I took it to like tech shops. All the people, I can't fix it. I can get you another one, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I can't. And then I finally got a I found out one of my family members owned like a computer repair shop. I was like, you know what? I'm going to see what I can do. And I brought it to him, and like he restored like maybe 10 songs.
Yeah.
But that's nothing. You know, I got to appreciate him for doing it.
Yeah.
But it's like, bro.
Right. It's difficult to be optimistic in that situation. Mm-hmm. It's like when you lost so much.
Yeah, you lost everything. Difficult. Like everything. I even had clients work. Cause I had gotten to producing heavy at that point.
Yeah.
And good thing, like, I send tracks to them as we go. Mm-hmm. So good thing all of that wasn't just in my computer and they didn't have it. But like, I was wrapping up with one girl. She didn't use any of the music. I think she was just getting it all out.
Got it.
And she still has all the songs, but like, we made at least 3 solid albums worth of music.
Wow.
And my computer was like, bye. And that was it. And that's when I learned, like, you know, you should really use external hard drives. Yeah, if y'all listening to this podcast and y'all working strictly through a laptop, get an external.
Yeah.
And back up your external. Yeah. Don't rely on a little jump drive and don't make stupid decisions like I did when I was younger.
Different strokes
consist of 2 piano players, 1 drummer, 1 bass player, and 1 guitar player. Our 2 piano players and singers are Cody LaBeouf and Cortland Mack. Our drummer is Stephen Tumlin. Our guitar player is Nick Tanner, and I'm Brian. But we funk, R&B, soul, rap, hip hop, like everything. We really don't. We just play what we feel.
Right.
And we give the people what they want to hear.
Exactly.
We're that type of band. And it's like, we have new music coming out, and we're working on some music now. And it's, I honestly can't put it in a niche. Because as bad as I want to say it's R&B, and so I want to say it's funk. As bad as I want to say it's funk, it's borderline, like just dubstep on some electronic, not like dubstep, you know, but it's like, it's just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't really put it in a box.
Exactly.
But hey, it works. And it's Different Strokes with the PH. Take all the vowels out of it, and then you can find us on every social media platform.
So spell it out, though.
Let me see, because we just changed it. It's DPHRNTSTRKS, I believe.
Okay.
Cool. You had to kind of mentally spell it out just now.
Right, yeah. So the band, is this people that you've always known? Or are you just recently met? Or are you met through
Chicago? It varies. It varies. Like, I definitely met them all through college. Okay. The first one I met is Cortland. Cortland is the piano player. He's the newest member of the band.
Okay.
I met Cortland like my sophomore year of college. I think my sophomore year was his freshman year, I believe. Mm-hmm. We met through mutual friends. Okay. He's one of my great, like, just outside the band, he's probably like one of my best friends.
Okay.
And he's also left-handed.
Okay.
And we both also have birthdays in April, so that's just crazy how that lined up.
So he does the same thing?
No, he's okay. Like, I don't know what habits he had as a kid. But I know his main and probably only instrument is piano, so okay. He's just, bro, that dude smashes a piano.
Yeah.
And could sing.
Yeah.
The singer's behind off.
Wow.
You had left. You left, like, oh, I want to say, like, man. Two songs after you left the show. Like, it was, he has a song that, well, a cover that we do called Movie by Tomish. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, destroyed it. Like, the crowd was just looking like, who, what?
Right.
So that, he's our secondary piano player, our main / lead singer. Is Cody LaBeouf. I met him about a year or two ago, I want to say.
Okay.
We met through at UL, we met through school and mutual friends, but like right when the band first formed, he was pretty much in that little bubble.
Okay.
So that's how I met him, and me and him became really close friends. He has a sugar glider, by the way, named Dude.
And he has a what?
A sugar glider. It's like this big. I honestly don't really know what it is. All I know is it's nocturnal. And
is
like
a pet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, it looks like a squirrel with wings, kind of, in a sense.
Wow.
Like, I'm going to pull it up, hold up, just so you can see what it looks like. This little thing.
So his bandmate got a bat.
I love that thing, bro. Like,
click the picture. And then, so who's the other?
We have Stephen Tumlin. He is, I knew of Stephen before I became friends with him. Because mm-hmm. I have another good friend named Andre Rochelle who pretty much got me the music scholarship at UL.
Because,
like, I've pretty much been playing drums since I was little.
Yeah.
But, like, before the semester before the audition I had to do that summer for UL, mm-hmm. I just went, like, I was always going by him to begin with because we just cool. But, like, he's a way better drummer than, like, he strictly drums.
Okay.
So, like, he was getting my hands together, like, hey, this is good, but you need to work on this, take this part of your technique, that part of your technique. And then I started getting the hang of it, mm-hmm. started solidifying what I really need to solidify. Mm-hmm. And then when I auditioned, boop, got the scholarship, got the music scholarship, I was good.
Yeah.
And I heard of Steven, our actual drummer, through Andre, because Andre would talk so highly of him so much. And he was like, yeah, he's good with his hands, he's good on set, he's good with this and that. And I was like, man, this dude is like a walking legend.
Yeah.
And then I got to meet him, mm-hmm. and I met him while he was in rehearsal. Playing.
Yeah.
Made no sense.
Right.
Like, dude was just like making some crazy, stupid, crazy rhythms.
Yeah.
And he just looking like, hey, what's going on, man?
Right.
I'm like, nah, you're not about to sit there and play that. Like, it's so simple and you can talk at the same
right.
time. Because now you're slapping me in my face.
Yeah.
But nah, Steven's the party animal of the group. Like, you want to get the show started? Get Steven started.
Yeah, I think I can recall his, he did probably like a little semi-solo toward the end of a song or something like that the other night. Yeah, he was dope.
Dude can kill it, bro.
But that guitar player, though, he
Nick
super dope.
God dog Montana, bro. Let me tell you something. You don't just be in a band with Nick and not, I'll put it to you this way. Either you're going to keep up with Nick or they're going to find another bass player.
Okay.
Like, real talk.
Wow.
Because, for one, everybody in that band is just cold, musically.
Yeah.
So either you got to keep up, or it's not like, oh, we don't want you because you're not good. It's
right.
just that you really going to stick
gotta
out.
You got to know your shit.
You're going to stick out.
Yeah.
And Nick is one of them people to where it's like, you could put funk, classic, R&B, soul.
Yeah.
It don't matter. Music, no music, playing it by ear, playing it by paper.
Right.
Dude is just a monster, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be in rehearsal, and he'll look at me. He'll be like, Brian. And, like, he'll throw a lick at me.
Yeah.
And I better throw the lick back.
Yeah.
Or I better, like, have something, you know, like,
right.
to where we go back and forth with each other. Because, one, especially bass player, the guitar player, there has to be a synergy.
Yeah.
There has to be something to where it's like, okay, I'm following you, you following me, and we making, like, this pocket. Because he's the only guitar player in the band.
Right.
So, sometimes he's rhythmic, sometimes he's lead.
Got it.
When he's rhythmic, that means he's in my group now.
Okay.
So, if we're not locking in together, or I'm not keeping up, or he's not keeping up, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But he's one of them people to where it's like, you tell him to go, he gonna run. And he not gonna stop until you make him stop.
Right. Yeah,
like,
I love that.
Cool.
I can tell that.
Gifted.
Like, he was just like, he was like just so like into it.
Yeah. Like, we'll legit drop to the floor yes. while we're playing on his knees on a full right. Sierra backbend like he in the Matrix.
Right.
And we'll still play perfectly
he's
fine.
He's a real rock star. You
like, for
tell.
Real. For
you
real, for real. And, like, yeah. that's just, he inspires me because it's like, he's stupid talented. Don't get yeah. me wrong. But just as talented as he is, he works just as hard.
Right. Yeah.
To maintain and improve his sound.
Exactly.
Like, dude is a work, like, I don't really know anybody who works harder than Nick.
Right.
He'll sit there and just grind all day. Like, we have to tell him, bro, you gotta relax.
Yeah.
Because he'll get to the point to where, like, he's working so hard, he forgets to relax. Yeah. And he gets tense and he gets a little aggravated. It's like, yo, chill.
Right.
And he'll come back down, yeah. but then he'll start right back up. You know? He's just ambitious, bro.
Right.
I gotta take my hat off to the dude.
Yeah. And like I said, I could tell that's how he is. He's super dope. He definitely stood out. Mm-hmm. But of course, like, when I'm watching the show, it's like I'm always, like, tuned in to the bass player mm-hmm. and the guy on guitar, whoever's on guitar, because mm-hmm. that, you know, I love those. But as far as, like, your role, how long has it been together?
I want to say about, like, a year and a half, 2 years, somewhere around there.
A year and a half. So y'all been playing shows since
pretty
then?
Much since we started. Like, we had to get a certain sound. I had left the band for a little while
because
okay. I had these crazy moments in my life
right.
to where it was, I needed to go find myself yeah. and got this.
Right.
And, me understanding this, and then yeah. it just, then the toxic relationship I was in at the moment, and people just being in my ear.
Yeah.
And me getting out of that, I walked into who I really was supposed to
exactly.
be. You know, and then I was like, yo, look, if y'all don't accept me back, that's cool. But, you know, I'm willing to be back, but just so happened that the bass player that substituted me, that replaced me, he was leaving.
Okay.
So it was like, it was literally like destiny. Like, the same
yeah.
2 days he left, I came in like, hey, y'all, I'm back if y'all want me.
Thanks.
And it was like, yeah.
Right.
And that's what I love about him. It wasn't like on some, well, you back, blah, blah, blah. It was like, nah, like, bro, we missed you.
Yeah.
And they saw, like, they was real friends, so they saw, you know, the,
right.
the crap. Granted, it hit him out of nowhere that I was leaving.
Because right.
it was like an internal thing that was going on.
Yeah.
But like when I came to him, I just like, it was no secret. Like, hey, here's what I was going through.
Yeah.
Here's why I did what I did. I'm back now. I ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty permanent. Now.
Yeah, cool. And like, when I think about bands, I always think about like the relationship between the bandmates mm-hmm. and how you communicate verbally and non-verbally on stage
yep.
and stuff. So talk about that. Like, as far as like, I always compared to like a union,
mm-hmm.
so it's like the band is just one.
Right. It's more nonverbal than verbal, I can tell you
exactly.
that, especially when performing, because it's like when you performing, it's not so much because you can't just be talking and performing for one,
exactly.
because you have to perform.
Right.
But two, it's just mainly like just you get to a point to where you play with somebody for so long, all y'all just have that instant connection to where it's like, it's not much I really have to say.
Exactly.
When we play, especially when we playing together. And then with the type of ears that everybody has in the band, it's like, say, like, well, for the last show, like, we actually did it. Cody, the piano player, and Nick was going back and forth on the solo. Like, we call it like trading fours or whatever. Like, he'll play something. They're going back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's me, the other piano player, and the drummer's job to just keep the groove and everything going, right?
Right.
They doing their thing. I'm looking at the other piano player, and I'm throwing stuff in there, and he's like, oh, yeah, and he's going
yeah.
at. Not one word was uttered.
Right.
But exactly. the whole song then changed completely.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's
yeah.
so crazy.
That's amazing. You listen to Jill Scott?
Definitely.
So, have you heard her tune lately, Boom, Been Sweet?
I think so.
It's on the Light of the Sun album. But she said, for that, like, that whole thing was just, like, pretty much like a vent. Like, she vented, you know, what she was saying in the song. And she said all of the musicians, of course, there was someone on bass, there's someone on keys, I forget all the rest, but, you know, it's a number of different musicians, but they can't see each other in the studio.
Wow.
Le Boom Vent Suite. What happened? I'm gonna keep it gully. What happened is I invited Adam Blackstone on bass, Randy Boland on guitar, Spanky on drums, and Eric Wortham on the keys. I invited them to come to the studio one night for a quote-unquote jam session. We got in here. I hadn't been in front of a microphone in 2 years other than performing, so I was kind of nervous. I started pouring drinks and got loose enough to tell the guys it's time. The way that it was set up is that I could see Eric on keys and I could see Randy on guitar. Adam on bass, if I kind of struggled a little bit and turned to the side, then I could see him. Spanky was in another booth, I couldn't see him at all. Spanky could see Adam on bass, but couldn't see any of us. Eric on keys could see me, and he could see the guitar player and the bass player only out of his peripheral. So we're all in this room and can't really make eye contact, and we don't really see each other. And we hit record. And Le Boom Vince Suite just came out. I call it boom because that's the attitude. It's that moment when you decide that I am not going to wait for you anymore. And I'm going to do it like boom. The song starts off with boom, and it turned into something completely different. And the transition, you don't know where it's going. And I change voices, and energy changes all in one song. It wasn't planned or configured in any way. It just occurred. So even when we listen to it, we're shaking our heads. You know, how did we get here? You know, that's the sweet of it all and the vent of it all. I was venting, and I'm glad I did.
And I'm like, you mean to tell me that they did all of this and couldn't even see one another?
It's possible, man.
Like,
it's possible.
That is just amazing.
There's levels that you reach as a musician to where you just get to a certain point to where, in my opinion, is strictly spiritual. Strictly, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. energy, vibes, mm-hmm. so all of that. Because mm-hmm. how is it that we... Because granted, we understand music theory and we understand how the music is supposed to move. Mm-hmm. But they get so specific and so just together to where it's like, and nothing was spoken.
Right.
To where it's just like, how did we get here?
Exactly.
There's been like jam sessions. Because like normally for my band, before we even like write music, rehearse or whatever, we'll just jam just to warm up.
Yeah.
And we've had moments to where it's like,
like,
where did this come from?
Right.
And then you try to go back and record it, it's not
the same.
It's not the same at all.
That's how it be. But yeah, I was definitely like, wow. Like, how it just happened. Like, I'm always just intrigued by that because, I see a lot of bands all the time, and it's just seeing how the interactions within the band and how everything just comes together as one. And mm-hmm. it sounds like really, really, really beautiful. Bro. So I appreciate that. But anything else you want to share with the people about your art? Anything you got coming up soon? Any shows? The band?
I say just follow us on Instagram. I did this thing called Funk. I'm pretty sure you know about it. I was doing stuff called Funk Volumes. I wanted to like really put my personal, I guess, creation process out there a little mm-hmm. bit, just so people can understand my sound a little bit better. Yeah. And now I'm on to something called Soul Volumes because I feel like my funk wave is like, it did what it had to do. Mm. And I'm on to something else.
Okay.
And I'm trying to really dive into like my singing a little bit more.
Okay.
I'm not fully comfortable with it.
Right.
But because I'll sit there and record the same thing like kid you not, 50 takes.
Yeah.
Because either I'm not satisfied or it doesn't sound how I want it to sound.
Right.
And it's like, I'm just trying to get to the point to where I'm comfortable with doing it in front of people. Exactly. And I don't really have to be in that. I'm recording it and putting it out there.
Right.
I don't have to sing in front of anybody.
Exactly. It's a difference, yeah.
Right. So it's like, I'm diving into that a little bit more. So y'all can find me on, especially, I'm really heavy on Instagram. I don't use Facebook as much as I used to. I logged in like the other day and I had like 200 some requests. I just logged out. I was like, I don't
Facebook
know.
Facebook the police.
Yeah. Bro, that too. Like, I'll use Facebook Messenger because like the group chats and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I'll use Facebook Messenger.
I don't trust it because like it be trying to get in like your contacts and then
I deny it every time.
Yeah, like it just be trying to get into too much. And then how Facebook is set up now, like you can't do messages unless you get Messenger. So I find that
that's
really
a thing?
Weird. Yes. So but, I'm like, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Like, how can you not send messages through Facebook without having that?
Because you definitely don't want to post some personal on somebody's wall.
Right.
Like, hey, hit me up for blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whoa, you just posted that for everybody to see. So it's either everybody to see it or only they see it.
Exactly.
But you have to go through that.
So, like, what if you didn't want to have messages?
Granted, it's from a business standpoint, it's smart. That's really smart marketing. Yeah. But I could see, I definitely see where you're coming from. We don't trust me. We could get into some conspiracy theories if you want to.
Right.
Spend a lot of time looking at that.
We're going to have to bring the spirit of Dick Gregory up here.
Dude, rest in peace to Dick Gregory, bro. Like, him peace and love. Dude, let me tell you something. I have a friend named Miles. Me and that. No matter what interview you go to, he always gonna have that smoothie.
Yep.
And he gonna have that doggone lip balm. Oh, and he will always talk mean to somebody, bro. Right.
I mean, how could you not know that? Then if these cops was killing dogs like they're killing black folk, the cops would have been in the electric chair. Okay. And so the people who run it know. The problems they got it with white folks. Black folks ain't gonna do nothing. They come in here now and say, oh, you niggas get out of here, I'll kill you. I'll probably be the only one to die. I know y'all will stay, y'all gonna stay, but I ain't buying that bullshit because I know you. That's what this is about.
There's so many memes and so many videos we didn't share in our group chat.
For real?
Of just strict Dick Gregory. So like it's the only, like my favorite one is like he was describing to the dude about like a mother's love and like a woman's love towards her man and her kids or whatever. It's like when the house on fire, like them kids ain't worried about you.
Yep.
And he was like how
I remember that one.
I forgot how he had his house because apparently he got like a whole bunch of kids.
He got like 10, 11
that's
kids.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it's like he had it set up to where like the wife would get the kids and do whatever and all he got to do, he's like, I'll just jump out. I'm like, bro, wait, what? Like his mind was on some other stuff.
Yeah, he was a real weirdo.
Oh, yeah.
It was almost like I don't know if he was, like, wanting to change the world for his kids or he was just, like, a servant for the world and not his kids. Like, I don't really know.
I feel like because I followed him when I really got into him. It was, like, 2 years before he died when I really, really started thinking. Because I didn't realize his work carried all the way even back into, like, the 90s. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know he did
even
comedy and
that.
All that.
Even past you know that. What I'm saying? He was a candidate for
presidency and all that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until I started getting into him. Yeah. And, like, just as many things as I believe that he says, I don't believe.
Exactly.
Because you got to take his stuff with like a grain of salt.
For sure.
You know, because it's like.
Sometimes you be like, what?
Yeah. Because some of his conspiracy theories are a little too well put together.
Right.
And it's a little too, I'm like, I get where you're coming from, but then you got to give me a little bit more supporting facts than that. Yeah. But a lot of stuff he talked about, I believe is true.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of them people to where it's like. When you listen to him, you just gotta be ready for an open mind. You gotta have an open mind.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
like he's. I hate to compare the two because they're vastly different. But Ben Shapiro, you know him.
Mm-mm.
Well, check him out. He's like one of them political guys.
Okay.
And I like him not based off of what he supports and says. It's just the way he presents his content and how he stands behind what he says.
Got it.
No matter what it is,
it's facts pretty much that he has. The facts to back it up,
right?
Everything.
And he's that type of person. And it's like there's certain things he dive in as far, especially like black community stuff that I can't. It's like he has a point. Statistically, he has a point.
He's a white guy.
Yeah, but it's like you can't really understand it because one, you're not living in those type of areas. Because numbers could say that such and such is dying at this rate, and such is happening like that.
Right.
But you gotta really be from like us, people like us, who's like know the areas. Like here's why it's like that.
Right.
You know, because we could say all day what's happening, like, blah, blah, blah. He'd be like, well, do this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
If it was that simple, it would have been done.
Exactly.
You know, because we're not out here really trying to die and kill each other.
Right.
Who,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
But, like I said, he, like, just like Dick Gregory, some things you can accept and some things you can't. Just take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But they definitely, well, especially to get back to Dick Gregory, that's some stuff I just like, bro. Look, he was one of the people that made me, like, really. I hate to use the term, but like man up in a sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, you believe in something and like you feel this way about something until you're proven. Because I'm the type of person, like, until you prove me wrong or you give me supporting details.
Right.
Because I'm always down for being wrong. Like, just like, don't, I'd rather be corrected than to just sound stupid.
Exactly.
You know, but like, but until I'm proven, you know, wrong,
right.
I'm just going to stand in what I stand in.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to Dick Gregory. Rest in peace to him, bro.
Yeah, that dude. I couldn't even imagine interviewing him. Like,
I wouldn't want to, bro.
I think I would want to, but I mean, when I tell you, my nerves would probably be like,
you gotta
shot.
Be ready. You gotta be ready because he'll cut you out and say you and he love you in the same sentence.
Right. Exactly. But it would be one of them things. It's like you just, like you said, you got to have an open mind, and then mm-hmm. You can't be sensitive. You can't have, you know, right. thin skin and shit like
have
that,
your facts
and
too.
Be offended as far as you know what he's talking about and stuff. Because mm-hmm. he get off on everybody.
Everybody, like, it don't matter. It really don't matter.
Yeah.
And the part that confuses me is like the way they die.
Right.
A lot of conspiracy theories mm-hmm. are holistic doctors, like Dr. Seth. Yeah, that just died. Mm-hmm. I was like, this man had the cure for everything, and they say he died from a regular cold.
Yeah, he died in jail, though.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. I was like, yeah. But that still don't make sense.
Exactly.
As bad as I want to believe that, right. And like I said, I could be wrong. I'm not trying to disrespect that man, rest his soul, all that.
Right.
But it's just like you get such a strong image of what he is and what he stands for mm-hmm. and what he studies. I've seen videos of him, like, I'm pretty the famous video of him, like, dropping to his knees and pop back. Oh, yeah, because I eat right and I can do that. And, like, he's hitting his bones. Like, it's crazy. Like, he hits his bones, like, on, like, he drops, like, just like I'm standing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm blah, blah, blah. Now he does, like, a bow and, like, just drops down. No wincing, no pain stands. And, you know, he, like, in his 70s, like, yeah, in his, like, 60s, 70s at the time.
Yeah.
And he just pop up, he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who is this man?
Right.
And you could see, like, there's no padding in his pants because he was moving and stretching, like, no padding, no extra material.
Right.
Like, dude just, and you know when bone hit wood.
Exactly.
Like, you could have heard it. I was like, yeah, is he going to get back up? And he just popped up like nothing happened.
Wow.
I was like, all right.
It'd be quite interesting.
I got a friend named Tari. I was into him, but she took his food guys and everything and, like wholeheartedly just started following her, and she went like purely vegan.
Wow.
Looks dude, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
And she's healthy and like just living her best life right now.
Wow. Okay.
And it's like she made me really like, because I was already into it, but she made me like really study him a little bit more because mm-hmm. it's like I'm watching the proof.
Yeah.
I'm watching the adaptations, and it's like, man, this junk is crazy.
Right. So she changed her whole like
everything
eating lifestyle.
Everything, bro. Like for her to eat meat, you're going to have a gun in her head or something like
wow.
that. Like, me and her have talks. Like just, what about this? And how you feel about this? And government this? And food this? And then she's like, oh, yeah, let's talk. Let's run it. And she'll talk you to the ground.
Really?
Like, she could talk all day about it, bro.
Wow.
Like, chick on her stuff.
Yeah, that's really good to have that type of knowledge as far as, like, what you're consuming. Because that's important.
Yeah.
Okay, so ultimately, though, we was kind of closing the show, and you were saying where we can find you guys.
Oh, yeah, you can find, like I said earlier, you can find Different Strokes on Facebook, Instagram. I believe we have a Twitter. You can find my personal stuff, my overall aesthetic of my page. I hope y'all like it. I've been working on it. Clouds of Progression on Instagram, Clouds of Progression. Look that up, and you'll see everything I've been doing, and that's pretty much it.
Perfect.
And SoundCloud.
Yeah, and SoundCloud. Yeah, so like I said, I appreciate you being on the podcast, being a part of this.
You came from way over there to come way over here.
Hey, man, look, I had planned to do this, and I'm glad that I got an opportunity to do it. So it's all love. Yeah. Bye. Come on, stand up. All right, so we're gonna head out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight on the show, Virtuous Optimist Podcast. If you don't follow us on social media, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud. We have a YouTube channel. All that stuff is Virtuous Optimist Podcast. Check us out. Peace and love. All praise to the Most High for this gift. And have a good night. Peace.